Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
Well, hello and happy weekend. Welcome to another program. It's good to have you along. I'm Frank Roche with Lieutenant Governor Suzanne Crouch joining us today and State Senator John Ford, our guest. By the way, if you miss any part of today's conversation, it's posted for you right now on our website as a podcast. Folks, welcome. Good to have you here today. How's everything going?
Going great, Frank. Great to be here.
Yeah, thank you, Frank. Great to be here with you, and great to have the Lieutenant Governor here in our region.
So the legislative session kind of ended. It kind of ended, kind of didn't. You guys are kind of in a limbo holding pattern now for a couple of months until we do have the census numbers are coming out, the data's coming in, and then you have to get into redistricting, right?
Correct. We're on a recess, technically, until November.
First time that's happened, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
All right, so which normally you guys are pretty much over and done with until next year, but now you're just kind of in a holding pattern.
Yeah, we're holding because, like you said, we're waiting for the federal government to provide the census data.
So what's going to happen when you guys get back together again?
When we get back together again, we will be voting on the new districts.
And who's going to draw those up, and when's that going to happen?
The legislature will draw them up, and it will happen sometime after September 30th.
Okay. And looking for any big changes there? I mean, how's your district? You're pretty safe, I think.
Yeah, I think some data that came out this week, we're going to continue to have 9 congressional districts. We had a little growth statewide in population, so we'll have to wait and see what the numbers show in September.
All right. Lieutenant Governor, what did you think about this last legislative session? It just ended here a couple of weeks ago as this airs. So what do you think?
Well, in the 13 years I've been associated with the General Assembly, 8 as a state rep and then 5 as lieutenant governor, and as lieutenant governor, constitutionally, I'm president of the Senate.
Right.
In those 13 years, this has probably been the most collaborative and bipartisan session that I've been a part of. And I think it was because COVID, while it created a lot of challenges for legislators, it also brought people together. And certainly, when we are about 10 days out from the end of session and we get the good news that our revenues have rebounded and we were getting over $2 billion additional revenue dollars as a result of our economy rebounding. And then in addition, we were getting an additional $3 billion of the American Recovery Plan money. You have an additional $5 billion that you could use to fund more of the projects that perhaps you weren't going to be able to fund otherwise. So it ended up being a historic and kind of a transformational session. $1.9 billion new dollars in K-12 education. 45% of that is supposed to go to teachers' compensation, with starting salaries to be guaranteed at $40,000.
Mm-hmm.
So that is able to recognize and to be able to fund the recommendations that the Teachers Compensation Commission made.
Now, just to make it clear, where did the money come from? It just didn't poof appear.
Well, our revenues rebounded.
Right.
To the much greater than what we thought. In December, we said, we think that our revenues in April are going to be X. And then what we do is we plan the budget on that. But then when you get close, you revise those April numbers, and they ended up coming in $2 billion stronger. It's a result of 16 years of fiscal conservative leadership that our economy is strong and we've been able to weather this pandemic and bounce back.
I'll give you both an opportunity to kind of comment on this, because as the census numbers come back, we look just to the west, about a couple miles from where we're actually sitting at the moment. Their population is going down. They're going to lose one person in the House of Representatives. Their budget's not looking too good. They're still flirting with bankruptcy, it seems like, in most every way. Their people are moving here as well as going to some other states. Compare the two, if you can. I mean, Indiana doesn't look too bad, does it?
Indiana is a great state. I mean, we're number one in the Midwest. We're 5th in the nation for our business environment. We're the 2nd most affordable state. Our infrastructure is number one in the country. And we're one of 13 states that has a AAA credit bond rating by all 3 independent rating agencies. Those are incredible accomplishments. And Frank, in 2020, in spite of COVID and all the challenges we faced, Indiana was able to create over 31,000 new job commitments, a record 5-year high. So in spite of COVID, we were able to maintain a strong economy that rebounded much quicker than other people. So that $3 billion American Recovery Plan money we didn't have to use it to get us out of a hole. We were able to use that money to fund projects like teacher compensation, broadband, regional initiatives, economic initiatives. I mean, so Indiana is a great state. I mean, and we are in a great position for the future. What has taken place in this budget is going to absolutely cause explosive growth throughout Indiana over the years to come and make us a leader in the country.
And senators, you look across the state line, right where your district borders, you got to feel okay when you look over there.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to have Illinois as a neighbor because it's, you know, adds to all my speeches. But, you know, I think we are, what you see here in Indiana is, you know, the fiscal policies we put in place for more than a decade, the investments in higher education, K through 12, infrastructure, they're all paying off now. Businesses want to come here. Residents want to move here. You know, we've set the table really well for success in the future.
The one thing I'll just throw out there real quick for a bit of discussion, because it just came out here about a week or so ago, the folks in Illinois, specifically in the northern part of the state, which I know is far up north from where you're at, but you still keep track of what's going on. Lieutenant Governor, you know what's going on. We get blamed in Indiana for the gun problems that Illinois and Chicago has and for the big murder rate over there. Do you even see?
We do?
Well, they blame us for the, yeah, they blame us. They say a lot of their folks come over here and buy guns from Indiana and take them back there. And they're trying to blame us for that. I doubt that you can really, I mean, I can't imagine that you would even, you know.
They don't sell guns in Illinois?
Well, barely. They have real, I mean, over here our carry laws and all that kind of stuff is a lot more lenient. And they blame us for it. So, and I'm sure you've heard of it.
That is news to me. I hadn't really heard that.
Well, I would say, I mean, criminals don't go to gun stores and buy guns,
right?
They're getting them through other illegal methods. And, you know, I think we have in Indiana sound gun policy. And, you know, for them to blame us for their problems, you know, it's pretty typical for Illinois.
All right. One of the things, too, I want to talk about, and, Senator, I'll start off with you on this, is redistricting. That's what you're going to be coming back for. What should we look for? What should the average person out here look for when it comes to redistricting?
You know, I think when it comes to redistricting, and you know, we're going to have a very public and open, transparent process. We'll have a number of public meetings, probably 10 to 12, all over the state. We'll have a portal at, I believe, at Ivy Tech University where people can go and submit maps. We also will have other ways for people to submit maps. And, you know, we will see what happens September 30th when we receive the data.
This is something that happens, well, every 10 years. And a lot of folks will criticize the legislature for gerrymandering. Is there really any credit to that?
I don't think so. I mean, when you look across Indiana, when you look at our county sheriffs, our county prosecutors, the majority of them are Republicans. And those districts aren't gerrymandered, right? Those districts were drawn hundreds of years ago when we set the state constitution. So, you know, I think we 10 years ago set up a, you know, great system, and we created districts that were compact, that really we got good reviews from even Common Cause Indiana supported what we did.
All right. Lieutenant Governor, talk about redistricting. What do you hope to see come out of the legislative session when they get back together and start redrawing districts?
Well, what we'll see is the districts will be changing to reflect the population. Mm-hmm. And so in some areas, there's going to be population growth. We know that. There are counties where population growth is really leading in the state. And then there are other counties where population has declined. And so those lines will be reflective because every Hoosier deserves to have an equal vote. And so that is why they redo the lines, is to make sure that each district has equal population and everybody's voice is represented and is heard. So I think we'll see some shifting of lines. But I think I don't think it's going to be huge shifts, and I think that most people won't even know that there's been a redistricting.
This is kind of interesting because it's really the first time that we've had the state legislature actually extended session like this, where they kind of go on hiatus for a couple of months and they come back. This is different because normally you guys are only in session for, what, a couple of months, and then you take off and you come back until next year. Whereas other state legislatures around the country, they're in session continuously, it seems like the folks in Illinois.
Yeah,
you know,
correct.
So it's different.
Yeah, and it was something we had to do that because of the federal government was slow to get the data out. So we were forced to kind of make this choice because we're not going to receive the data till end of September, beginning of October, if we're lucky.
Something encouraging is the fact that there were some states that lost population that we've seen, and they're actually going to lose representation. Indiana, though, our numbers have gone up. I mean, and which is kind of different for a Midwestern state. Most Midwestern states are, quote unquote, the Rust Belt is what they were calling us for a while. And we were all losing numbers. But Indiana's population came up. It was small, but it did come up.
Yeah. And our neighbors, Michigan, Illinois, Ohio, they all lost population. And so our growth has been steady. It's been not huge, but we, as a result, did not lose representation in Congress, and that is what is absolutely critical, because we need our conservative Hoosier voices to be heard at the federal level. So, you know, we, I think as we continue to create jobs and we continue to give opportunities for growth to happen, we're going to see that population grow. That's why these READY grants are going to be so transformative for Indiana. The $500 million that the General Assembly put into the READY grants, and that stands for Regional Economic and Acceleration Development Initiative, because we love our acronyms, so we go with
how
READY.
How long did you have to practice that before you could remember that?
A little while. But here, let me just share with you. This was patterned after the Regional Cities Initiative in 2016. And as you recall, back then, there were three parts of our state that received $42 million each. Mm-hmm. It was Fort Wayne, South Bend, and Evansville. Now, I'm familiar with the Evansville initiative because that's my hometown, and right. I have an apartment in Indianapolis, but I go home every weekend. What happened in Evansville is they received $42 million of state money. That leveraged right under $1 billion of private sector money. All right, so think about this. $500 million. That conceivably would go to 10 regions around the state, mm-hmm. each region receiving $50 million. That in turn means we're going to have, if everything plays out, $10 billion of private sector money being put on top of that throughout all of Indiana. It is going to be incredible. The jobs it's going to create, the transformation, we're going to explode. And I know that Vigo County and I know that Clay County are going to be a part of a region that probably applies for this, won't they, Senator Ford?
Yeah, thank you. Here in this area, this region, we have what we call the Wabash River RDA. And matter of fact, Clay County will be voting, the county council will be voting on Monday to join that RDA. Mm-hmm. So to receive these funds, you need to be part of an RDA. The RDA here is made up of, will be made up hopefully after Monday, of six counties. Knox County, Vigo County, Sullivan County, Park, Vermilion, and hopefully Clay. And we will all work together. It's all about collaboration and not worrying about county boundaries and town boundaries, but all working together to attract these big investments. And, you know, this region is preparing for that. And I think we'll be ready to have make a strong competitive run at some of that money.
And one of the other things, too, I just thought I'd bring up and just kind of mention why it's really important for this area is the fact that when you take a look at the monthly unemployment numbers, and I usually do in the coverage that we do on our news here, Wabash Valley counties are always, many of them are in the top 20. And there's at least two or three that are always in the top 10 when it comes to unemployment in the state. So this economic investment is really important for this area to kind of turn those numbers around.
No doubt about it, because we're also, this region is also in the process of change. You know, we are losing lots of coal jobs, coal mines, power plants that are either shutting down or going to be shutting down.
Yeah, because, you know, we've got Vigo County, the Wabash plant, Duke Energy shut it down, blew it up here last year. And then down in Merrim, too, there's another plant down there that's going to be shut down soon. So, yeah, you're right.
And Cayuga will be decommissioning here soon as well. So, you know, we're losing those jobs. Those are high-wage, high-demand jobs that we're losing. And so this, you know, this investment of the READY grant will help us make that transformation.
Can you imagine $1 billion of investment going on right here?
And talk about the domino effect of that, because just as you, I mean, because for most people, wrapping their head around $1 billion is, I don't know, it's not like Monopoly money. It's just, it's there. Yeah, we know it, but it's not really something that we can feel and touch and hold. But talk about the domino effect, because when that $1 billion of investment comes in, that affects not only various businesses in the communities and employment, but it also helps the state budget. And it helps you guys bankroll more money in Indianapolis. That way, hopefully it doesn't happen soon, but the next pandemic that comes along that throws us for a loop, we can afford to go through it again like we did this time.
Absolutely. I mean, we know that investment is going to just grow our economy. And that's what we saw in 2016 when that investment was made in those three parts of the state. So you're absolutely right. But what it's going to do is create jobs, and it's going to cut down on those unemployment numbers. Mm-hmm. But here is the purpose of it. It is to transform regions and to make them attractive and have the kind of quality of life that not only their citizens can enjoy, but that will attract talent and will keep young people in the area, because they're the future of Indiana. They're the ones that are going to be leading us into the future. We don't want to see our young people get educated, graduate from high school, graduate from college, and go elsewhere. So that quality of life component that these regional initiatives are going to promote is going to be critical for the future.
And that's young a problem people, here because yeah. of the fact we've got, what, four universities and also with Ivy Tech, community college, we got four of them here. And the biggest problem we have is keeping people, because they come here, they get educated, poof, they're gone.
And with this investment, you can create those quality of life projects that appeal to young people. You know, I know that when I graduated from college, I mean, I was all about getting a job and having a career.
That was only 5 or 6 years ago. So
yeah, that's right. Anyway, thank you, Frank. I'm going to have to take you on tour with you.
I try.
But, you know, young people today, that's important to have that career, but that quality of life is equally important. So they want to live places where they can enjoy the things they want to enjoy. And what we're going to see as a result of COVID is we're going to see people leaving those large metropolitan areas and moving to areas where there are smaller communities and where that quality of life is so important. But that's why that $250 million investment in broadband in this budget is also going to be critical, because we saw through COVID with e-learning, telehealth, and teleworking that being connected is no longer a luxury. It's essential. And we've already invested $79 million that'll connect 22,000 Hoosier families and businesses. This additional $250 million is going to allow people to work wherever they want to. And they're going to come to this region if you have that quality of life and that investment that will take place.
And, Senator, that's a problem, because we've obviously had broadband problems here in our area. We know that now, especially after going through the pandemic with remote learning and everything else. And we talk about moving from major metropolitan areas. Well, we've got one that's an hour away, and they're all looking maybe over this way. So getting ready for that's really important for this area.
No doubt about it. I mean, this is laying tracks for the future generations. We have to have broadband for everything from, I mean, how we run our water supply to educating our kids. You know, it is critically important, and this investment will pay off. And I think, you know, our region is already doing a lot of collaboration. I mean, I think in Vigo County, you see the school corporation, the county, the city of Terre Haute, and Joint all partnering up to provide more broadband opportunities to students.
And the latest announcement of more hotspots around town and around the county, too, for kids that may not have internet access at home, will at least be able to get somewhere very close by to get that access.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, it's all about collaboration. And then the state is offering these grants, and that we'll be able to go to the state and make a very strong case to receive that money here in our region.
This was the budget session, which is the long one. It's the most important one, since you guys meet every year, but this is the most important. Every 2 years you do the budget. So with that said, put on your thinking cap, got your crystal ball. Next year's session, what are you looking forward to?
You know, wow, that's I'm still pondering what we just did, but
we'll have you back before then, but I thought I'd go ahead and let you touch on that now if you wanted to.
Yeah, I think next session, you know, we'll continue to work and collaborate on, you know, how to help our economy, how to help education. But I think, you know, we're still, as we're going through this pandemic, you know, I think there'll certainly be other issues that we can do to help with telehealth, mental health, next session that we'll go back and review and see what we can do in terms of legislation.
And Lieutenant Governor, what are you looking for at the next session? I know it's we just finished one, but what did you not get to? What didn't you get this time?
Do you know, this session was just so incredible. I mean, not just the money we mentioned, but $100 million for mental health, $60 million for trails, $900 million for future infrastructure investment, $60 million for small business grants, $15 wages for our direct service providers, those mm-hmm. individuals that take care of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. I mean, you can go on and on and on. So I think next session, it'll be looking at what they did this year, How is that money going out? And then do we need to make any tweaks to any programs? Do we need to do anything to help get that money out even better?
And I know we're tight on time, but I thought I'd go ahead and I'll let you speak to this if you want to. And that is, okay, the pandemic, none of us were alive the last time something like this happened. And obviously the world was a much different place the last time something like this happened. So you've been through it now as part of the state main manager people, you know, this lieutenant governor, you're number two in the state now. So what'd you do right? And what could you do better next time?
Do you know, I think, you know, hindsight is 2020.
Sure it is. That's why, you know, you can sit back and go, yeah, okay, well.
But I do believe that Governor Holcomb really did a tremendous job for Hoosiers. You know, he was able to use a common sense approach, looking at the data and making decisions based on that, keeping Hoosiers safe, but keeping our economy going. And I think we saw the benefit of that with our revenue projection coming in $2 billion over what we had anticipated, that while we had to take some restrictions, the economy kept going and it's rebounded tremendously. So I don't know, you know, I don't know what you could do different. I'm not a big believer that you dwell in the past. You have to learn from your mistakes. I don't know that there were a whole lot of mistakes made because it was uncharted territory. I do think, though, that the General Assembly kind of has taken a look at how do we prepare for these things in the future. And that is what they did with kind of their, you know, setting forth some guidelines for these future kind of emergencies that might take place that we hope we never have to see take place in the future.
Lieutenant Governor Suzanne Crouch and State Senator John Ford from our area here in the Wabash Valley, thanks for being with us today. If you missed any part of today's program, we've got it up for you as a website. On the website right now is a podcast. Feel free to head on over there. You can either stream it or download it. Thanks for being with us today. Appreciate it. And we will see you again next week.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.